Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed Liburd, and I'm so glad that you have joined me today. Truly the Lord is good, He is merciful, He is kind, and each and every day when we get together, we are to just take time out to give Him praise and give Him thanks. This past weekend, as many were remembering those that they loved, I want you to know that Jesus loves you beyond measure. I want you to know that whether it is yesterday, today, forevermore, that God will always love you. He will always take care of you. And we know that yesterday is gone and the future has not yet come. But I want you to know that God's love for you is everlasting to everlasting. And so, dear friend, you don't have to worry about who loves you. I want you to know that God does love you. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name, O God. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us this time of fellowship again. I thank you for those that study with me weekly, for those that study with me from around the world. Father, you know who they are and where they're living. I pray, O God, that you'll meet their needs right where they are. I pray, O God, that the anointing of God would go forth in their homes right now. Pray that they would feel the presence of God even as they study with me. I thank you, Lord God, for yokes that are being broken right now, lives that are being changed right now. I thank you for those that are being healed, O God, those that are being pulled out of depression right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak life over that one right now. O Sheke Dabo Shata. I speak encouragement over that one right now. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, because you hear us when we pray. I thank you for, oh, God, your anointing, oh, God, that flows throughout the whole earth, oh, God. And, Lord God, I thank you for the families that you're remembering right now, those that are mourning loved ones in the Middle East and all around the world, those that have gone through great tribulation, oh, God, because of terrorist acts against their families, oh God. We pray for healing right now. We pray for strength right now. You know everything that they're going through, oh God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we do not suffer alone, but God, that you always send your angels to minister to us. And I thank you right now that your ministering angels are going out to those families who are in need right now. Thank you that your ministering angels are going out to all those that need that extra comfort, oh God, and your arms, your loving arms are being placed around them right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you remember us, oh God, and we give you praise. We give you thanks right now. I thank you, oh God, once again for our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, as I stated already, I'm so glad that you have joined me to study this week, and we will be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a chapter that I love. It is the love chapter, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in with me today. Hope that you do have your Bible. We will begin be reading from the first verse to the 13th verse. As we study, I hope that you will not only look at this chapter, but you will go back and study the chapters around it and get familiar with all of the entire chapter of Corinthians, because when Paul was admonishing the Corinthian church, he had to really be hard on them in some areas and basically try to teach them, because there was much confusion in the Corinthian church. So many people had their own ideas about what was really right, what they should do and should not do. And there were so many people in the church at Corinth who were unruly, meaning that they did not like order. And I want to remind you, dear friend, that God is a God of order. And so when we come together to fellowship as Christians, we should always remember that although God loves our worship, when it is time to sit down and listen to the Word of God, He expects us to sit down and to conduct ourselves appropriately so that we could hear the Word of God. in the early Christian church at Corinth, there were some that did not understand order. And so Paul spent a lengthy amount of time trying to explain to them how things were to run. And he did that in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, where he was instructing the church. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. It is the love chapter. It is used by many at weddings. And, of course, once we get into it, you'll see why it's used at weddings. But it is a relationship chapter to help us to understand how we ought to treat one another. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. May God add a blessing to not only the hearers of his word, but the doers of his word. As we look at the scripture, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What was Paul referring to? He was referring to the fact that on the day of Pentecost, when they receive the Holy Ghost, we know that about 120, upwards of 120 people, both men and women, were gathered in the upper room as Jesus had told them. And we know the Holy Spirit came in as a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We do know that there were pilgrims in the land that were there for the festivities and for the holiday. And so they heard them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And they actually understood them in their own languages. And so God gave them the gift of tongues, and the Holy Spirit came in, and they were able at that particular time to speak those languages. We know that this Holy Spirit was not only for them, but it was for others who had not even been born yet. It was for those of us who were going to come along and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, of course, Holy Spirit comes in, and he enlightens us even more, gives us authority to preach and to teach and to cast out demonic spirits and to heal the sick, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so we know that they did tarry, that the Holy Spirit did come, and that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, after that occurred, there were some that became very arrogant with the Holy Spirit, and they thought within themselves that even though there was supposed to be order, that they didn't have to have order because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they could jump up and speak in tongues anytime they felt like it and just do whatever they felt like it. And that is not true. And so Paul had to set them straight. And one of the things that he decided to set them straight in was in the area of love, in the area of love. And so the word charity means love. It means love. And when we think of the different definitions of love, we always start with that definition for that is phileo, that word that means brotherly love, which the city of Philadelphia is named after. Phileo at the beginning of Philadelphia means that love for a friend. And so we know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And so that word phileo is friendship love, brotherly love, the love that you would have towards an acquaintance or someone that you know or, you know, that you care about, but it's not that erotic love. And so the next word is eros. Eros, that word eros is that word that is used for that sexual type of love that you would have for your spouse. And, of course, we know that the word evolved into that word erotic. So we know eros is the beginning of the word erotic. And so when we think about erotic, you're thinking about something sexual. And so that's that second word. And, of course, we know that when we're doing biblical studies, we focus on the word called agape. Agape. And agape, of course, for love. And it refers to God's unconditional love towards us. And so when we think about being a Christian or being godly, we think in terms of not just the phileo love that we have for a friend, the erotic love that we might have for a spouse, but we think about that agape love, that agape love, whether you say agape or you say, you know, however you pronounce it, you know, whatever country you're from, you might pronounce it a little bit different than I do. But that agape love is what we refer to when we think about God, because we realize that God is no respecter of persons and that God loves us with a love that goes beyond what we can see or even imagine, because he loves us with that grace-filled love that extends a hand of mercy towards those who want mercy. Amen. And so when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we realize that Paul is trying to tell those who are godly, those who consider themselves to be Christians, he is trying to tell them that even though they might be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the gift of tongues or can speak in tongues and worship the Lord in tongues and sing in tongues and all this kind of stuff, and he is by no means downplaying the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, but what he is saying is that it's okay if you can worship that way, but after you finish worshiping that way, if you do not have love for those around you, then it's almost as if you're just a tinkling cymbal. And of course, if you look at a drum set, you will see that there's a low cymbal and there's a high cymbal. Both of those make different sounds. And if you've never played around with a drum set, I would encourage you to do so. Go over to a drum set and take the drumstick and just tinkle a little bit on the cymbals, and you will hear the difference in the sound. One is more high-pitched and one is more low-pitched. The point that Paul was making is that when you do not have love for those around you, you are making an empty sound. It doesn't matter how much you say that you can preach or you can sing or you can worship in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. If after all of that emotion has been displayed, if after all of that has been shown to the church that you have great talent and great gifts and all of that kind of stuff, if all of that you are not kind to those who are around you and you are not showing God's unconditional love to those who are around you, then it's as if you are just a cymbal that makes sound but has no quality. Amen. Making sound with no quality will have no eternal impact. Can I say that one more time? Making sounds with no quality will have no eternal impact, meaning that you can speak in tongues and you can worship, but if you do not have love for the people around you, then you will have no eternal impact on their life. Because what do people remember? The truth is, people do not remember good things. The last thing that you do to them is what they remember. They're not going to remember your praise that you did in church and the singing that you did or the dancing that you did or anything else that you did in church. If the last thing that you do is tell them off, call them a name, and mistreat them, that's what they're going to remember about you. And that is what is going to have eternal impact on them. And so, dear friend, you always want to treat people around you the way that you would want to be treated, because you have to realize that your behavior towards others will have eternal impact, meaning that when you go before God and you get ready to be judged, he's going to remember what you did to that person, and that other person also will remember it forever, because if they have a choice between whether they're going to be a Christian or not, and they base it on your behavior towards them, and they make a decision not to serve Christ based on your bad behavior towards them, that has eternal ramifications, because God has that recorded to see when you were not kind to your neighbor and how that person changed their mind about wanting to serve God. And so, dear friend, you never want to find yourself in that situation where you have treated your neighbor or your family member or your child, your son or your daughter in such a way that that person no longer wants to have anything to do with God. That is not a good place for you to be in, because what a person sows is what they reap. And so, dear friend, continue to sow good deeds towards others so that you will reap a righteous and a good harvest. Look at verse 2. It says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, over and over and over again in this chapter, you will see where Paul lists the actual gifts that people have in the church that the Holy Spirit has given to them. But he says you can prophesy to someone, and when we talk about the word of prophecy, we're referring to someone being able, that God gives them a word and they tell someone, and perhaps 2 weeks later it comes to pass, or a month or a year or whatever it is. But that prophetic word that God gives to an individual, you know, one of the gifts in the church, where you can speak prophetically into the life of someone else, God does give those gifts. But after you have prophetically spoken to someone else, and though you have faith to heal the sick and to see things come to pass that other people don't have faith to believe, that's all good and that's all wonderful. But after you have utilized those gifts, dear friend, do you have love towards those around you? Do you show kindness towards those around you? Because ultimately, when we stand before God, he is going to judge us based on those things. He is not going to say, well, I saw, you know, you fed the poor, you did all of this. Yeah, he sees that. But do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Are you treating those around you the way that you should treat them? Are you showing compassion on those who need compassion? Are you giving strength to those who are weak? Ultimately, dear friend, we have to be judged by God. We are not each other's judges. Sometimes people are judgmental towards you, but you have to just forgive them for their judgmental attitude towards you. But understand that in the end, our real judge is God himself. He is the one that is going to look at our deeds here on this earth and decide whether we can enter in or not, enter into our rest or be cast out from his face. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I don't want to be cast away from his presence. I want to be one of the ones that he says, enter into my rest, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God praise right now, for he is worthy to be praised. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Now, to understand this scripture fully, you might need to look at what's going on in the Middle East right now. We've got folks, Christians, that are being beheaded. And just recently, some Christians from Egypt were beheaded. And, of course, the group that's doing all of these things are doing it out in public. They're not hiding to do it. They're actually persecuting these Christians in public. And so, depending on what part of the world you live in, you might not be threatened by people trying to burn your house or kill you because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are some Christians in some of the world, in part of the world, that are actually experiencing persecution right now. They're actually making a decision to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are being killed. And so when you read this, I want you, dear friend, to take time and think and to process it and to realize that, yes, there are folks that are laying down their lives and saying, you know, go ahead and do what you want to do, but I will not deny Christ. And for those who do that, and perhaps a miracle occurred and your life was spared, after that, do not turn around and be boastful. When God has done great things for you, dear friend, do not be boastful. Do not be puffed up. You must have love towards those around you. The word used is charity. You must have love towards those around you, because if you present yourself as this great Christian who stands up for God and who has these debates with people about who Jesus is, and all of that is well and it's good. But, dear friend, after you have done all of that, after you have preached your last sermon, after you have prayed your last prayer, after you have laid your hands on the last person who needed to be healed, once you get out of that mindset or that podium or wherever you were ministering to other people, once you get out of that, are you treating other people well? Are you treating your family well? Are you treating other church members well? If someone gets you angry, are you swearing at them, or have you, or do you understand that God has already delivered you from that and you must not go back to that? So, dear friend, I want you to look at the scripture, understand it clearly, and realize that Paul was really addressing a church that was in turmoil, because they had all types of arguments about what holidays should be celebrated, et cetera, et cetera. And he had to constantly correct them. And so when you look even at verse 4, it says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. You know, we can spend a whole day, perhaps, on this one verse right here, because when you talk about charity suffering long, it is that little thing that breaks up a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, because people enjoy being patient and long-suffering to those outside of their home. But when it comes to their own family and the people who are closest to them, they tend to not have as much patience. And this one thing, among other things, breaks up a lot of marriages, because in that first year, it is the honeymoon stage, and maybe through the second or the third years, you might have that honeymoon stage. But after a while, people get used to each other, Sometimes they take each other for granted, and they're not as patient with each other as they should be. And so Paul had to remind the early Christians, and I'm reminding you and reminding myself that we must have more patience, because it says patience, charity suffers long and is kind. What does that mean? It means that while we are waiting for a situation to change, for a situation to turn around, we should not be short-tempered with the people who are closest to us. We should not get upset so easily. We should not, you know, get bent out of shape so easily. But we should learn how to be patient, how to be kind, and how to allow God to have his own way in our lives. We must over and over again say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You understand my heart. You understand my life. You understand the intentions of my heart. Lord, you understand me better than anyone else, and I'm asking you to direct me and to help me in this situation. Help me to be calm and to be kind. Because what happens, dear friend, is sometimes when we have prayed and we've asked God for something and he's not responding fast enough for us, sometimes we get very, very impatient. And sometimes that impatience rubs off on family because we don't know how to handle waiting. You know, I think we ought to teach classes on how to wait. You know, how to truly, truly wait on God and how to just be in expectation that the blessing is on the way, but don't be so impatient that we start speaking things that can actually thwart or hinder our blessing. How many of you know that we can hinder our own blessing if we having faith and start to doubt? So, friend, I want to encourage you, have faith, do not doubt, because God's answer is on the way for you. Look at verse 4 once again. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Now, what happens sometimes when we're waiting for God to respond to a prayer request? Sometimes we start looking over the fence, and we see the wicked. They seem to be prospering. They seem to be doing well. And you're saying, why is my blessing taking so long to come? And you have to understand, dear friend, that God's timing is always on time. So don't ever think that God hasn't heard you and that his answer is not on the way, because it is. But we just have to learn how to wait on God and how to truly understand that God knows what he's doing and that he is going to meet our needs. And the other thing it says in verse 4 is charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Now, understand this, dear friend, that a real Christian is not going to boast on other people when they get a blessing. A real Christian might share about their blessing in some kind of testimony, but they're not going to constantly berate other people and look down on other people and make other people feel bad because they don't have, you know, perhaps the material things that that other person has. And so, dear friend, don't get so puffed up in yourself. Understand that when people go up, the same people that you pass going up is the same people that you can pass coming back down. So allow God to keep you in a place of humbleness where you trust him for all your needs, and then when he does bless you, you are not showing off on other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. It says, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, think it no evil. Think it no evil. Now, we can stop right there, because a person who thinks no evil, you know, if we work that particular verse, a person who thinks no evil is not going to be easily provoked, because your mind will be so focused on spiritual things that you will not have time to allow people who don't like you or who are just evil in their heart. You will not allow those people to even get in your spirit or get close enough to you for you to be offended. So if you keep your mind, dear friend, on spiritual things, then when people come to try to upset you, they will not have the same impact on you because your focus has been on Jesus. Your focus has been on the goals that you have for yourself, which are beautiful goals. The goals that you have for yourself, which are goals to be successful and to do whatever God has told you to do, whether it's to minister to people, to pray for them, to just help them in any way that you can. When you think beautiful thoughts and holy thoughts and keep your mind in Scripture, studying the Word of God and praying, then when people come, look in verse 5, to try to provoke you, they will not be able to provoke you. And provoke, in the word entails to bother, to budge, to you know, almost like to kindle a fire under someone. Because when someone provokes you, what they're trying to do, they're trying to see if they can get an emotional rise out of you. And when they see that they cannot get an emotional rise out of you, they'll leave you alone and they'll go on to someone else. But when your mind is so caught up on the people around you and you're just so engrossed with whatever it is that they're doing, it's going to be hard for you to pull yourself out of this mindset of being so easily offended. And so, therefore, you've got to sometimes walk alone because you can't always walk with a crowd. Sometimes when you walk alone, God can speak with you. He can talk to you. He can give you direction. And that's something that you really need to do monthly, is take time out of your schedule to really, really hear from God. And hopefully it's not just monthly, but it's a daily thing where you spend at least an hour or so just communicating with God. And so let's look at verse 6. It says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And so when Paul admonished the early church, the Corinthians, not to rejoice in iniquity, it means that if your brother or your sister sins, if they fall, if something happens to them, you should not be happy about that. You should be praying for that person that God would restore them. Too many times when we see people fall, it's almost like we go and deliberately step on them or kick them when they're down. But that is not the goal of a Christian. A Christian, when you see a person fall, you should try to help them back up, and you should try to help to restore them. So do not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, if the devil tempts you to do something wrong, don't do it. Don't rejoice in it. Don't get involved in anything that God would not be pleased with. Look at verse 7. It says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now imagine you in a situation where your child is giving you a hard time. It's very, very easy to get sidetracked with what society is telling you to do. Society might tell you just to throw that person away, but the Bible tells you no. The Bible says you must bear all things. In other words, once again, have patience. Believe all things. In other words, you're going to believe that God is already making a way for you. You're going to believe that God has already ordained for things to go well for you. And so, hopes all things. I believe and I hope. I have hope that God is turning things around. So, dear friend, have hope in God. Believe that He's able. And that last part says, endures all things. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy to endure all things. It really isn't, because sometimes things just keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, and you're saying, when is this ever going to end? Dear friend, take a deep breath and make up your mind to live life one day at a time. So you get up in the morning and you praise God. You read your Bible. You go throughout the day and you're praising God throughout the day. At nighttime, you get ready to go to bed and you pray and you talk to the Lord and you ask Him to help you while you sleep and also to give direction to you in the morning and to protect you in, you know, in your dreams and everything, so that you're not having bad dreams. And so, dear friend, when you at that enduring all things, what you're saying is, Lord, whatever it is that I have to face, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to trust you because I have to be able to endure all things. I might not like the process. Now, let's just be honest. I might not like the process. Sometimes God allows us to go through some things, and we don't like the process at all. We don't enjoy it. But how many of you know that after you have gone through all of this, hallelujah, after you have gone through turmoil, after you have gone through sickness, after you have gone through troubles, after you have gone through things that have knocked you down and you had to literally hold on to something to help yourself up, how many of you know that God is making a way out of no way for you right now? God is giving you special strength right now. God is redirecting your steps right now. He's restoring everything that the enemy tried to take from you right now in the name of Jesus. It's not going to be always like this, dear friend. God is bringing you out. Amen. He's bringing you out still in your right mind. He's bringing you out with a heart full of joy. He's bringing you out with peace and happiness. Right now, give God some praise because God is bringing you out of this. Everything is going to be all right, dear friend. It's not going to be always hectic. It's not going to be always chaotic. God is working things out for you right now. Rejoice and be glad. Be happy because God is blessing you right now. Everything that you have been praying about, if you would just continue to trust God, if you would just continue to stand your ground, dear friend, God is doing a great work in your life right now. Your miracle is on the way. Hold on, dear friend. Hold on a little while longer because your miracle is on the way. God is blessing you right now. God is touching you right now. God is strengthening you right now. God is giving you new stamina, new refreshment, new refreshing. Oh, hallelujah. God is giving you that double portion of his anointing right now. I want you to just reach up and grab it right now, for God is giving you that refreshing that you need from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I declare it right now over your life. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. God is touching you right now, dear friend. God is helping you right now. And I thank God. Hallelujah. Take a little praise break right now and just praise him. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Father, that one that's listening to my voice right now, I pray that you would touch them right now. I pray that the power of God would be all over them right now. I give you praise right now. I thank you. Hallelujah. You're doing a great work in our lives right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, dear friend. Let's just finish reading these verses. I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, and I feel the presence of God right now. Verse 8 says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so, once again, dear friend, Paul was not downplaying the significance of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and being able to speak prophetically and what have you. But what he was saying is that even when a person has sat down and they're not in the midst of that type of worship where they're speaking in tongues or prophesying or what have you, after all of that emotion has been spent, when you come off of that emotional high, do you have love for the people around you? And that is the main focus of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that after we have done everything else, if we do not have love, then our gifts mean absolutely nothing. We must have love for the people around us. And you cannot just love those who are lovable. You have to be able to love those who seem to be unlovable. So let's look at verse 9. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so for those of you who think that you know it all, the Bible is saying that you don't. The Bible says right now we just know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, we are doing what we do as God reveals things to us. And he doesn't reveal everything to us at once because our finite minds cannot take it all. If God was just to breathe on us and give us all this knowledge and all this wisdom, we would not be able to handle it. And so he gives us things in part. And we prophesy in part that which we know, that which God has revealed to us, God, that which he shows us. And, of course, as we continue on, he will reveal even more and more to us. Look at verse 10. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or for myself a woman, I put away childish things. One of the things that pastors have to grapple with over and over are Christians who do not want to grow up, Christians who want to stay on bottled, on breast milk, don't even want to go to the bottled milk, those who want to stay with just the basics of Christianity, what they learned 20 years ago, and who don't want to grow, don't want to fast for a few hours or a few days, don't want to spend time in the Bible to grow and to get to know God more. Basically, there are a lot of baby Christians who just want to show up to church for a few hours and then that's it. They're done. And that, dear friend, is not what God has for us. God wants us to go to deeper depths and higher heights. God wants us to learn more about him, and he wants us to grow. And so the things that are childish, put them away. Act like a woman. Act like a man. Stop living in such a way that others have to keep correcting you. Live in such a way that you are maturing physically, emotionally, spiritually, that you are maturing in the faith. Put away childish things and mature in the faith. How do you do that? By spending time daily in the Word of God. How do you do that? By making sure that you have accountability with someone, whether it's your pastor or a group leader at your church. Make sure you have accountability with people so that you can balance each other. That person can pull you up if they see you straying. You can pull them up if they see you straying. Basically, you need to have yourself established in the church where you're not just bouncing from church to church, but you're established in one church where that pastor can feed you, that flock can feed you and fellowship with you, and then you can grow past childish things. When you grow past childish things, you'll know it because you won't be as easily offended when people say certain things to you. Amen and amen. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So as I get to know Jesus, and as he gets to know me, and sees that I am a faithful servant, sees that you are a faithful servant, then he will reveal himself more and more to us, more and more to you. Amen. Dear friend, if you want to get to know Jesus, take time out of your busy schedule each day and talk to him. Spend some quiet time with him so that he can see who you are for real, that you are a faithful servant. Look at verse 13. It says, now abides faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And so, dear friend, we appreciate your ability to move in the prophetic. We appreciate your ability to yield yourself and to the Lord so that he could fill you with his Holy Spirit, and your speaking in tongues is great, your singing in tongues is great, and all the worship that you do is wonderful. It is truly wonderful. But dear friend, when you leave the church house and you go back to normal living at your house, are you kind to your family? Are you kind to those that you encounter? Are you kind to the people at the bank? Are you kind to the people at the grocery store? Are you kind to the people at the post office? All of these places, and I'm sure you have a long list of your own of places that you go to. that you frequent, all of these places that you frequently go, are you kind to the people that serve you? Are you kind to the gas station attendant? Are you kind to the people who are there for you all the time, but then when you get upset, you tell them off and don't speak to them for weeks or for months or whatever it is? How kind are you to the people that you actually see around you all the time? Because, dear friend, God always says to us, and you can go over to 1 John 4 and look at more things about love and the fact that God is love. But one of the things that you'll find that the Bible reiterates over and over is, how can you say that you love God whom you cannot see, but you say that you cannot love someone sitting right next to you who you can see? How can you do that? It's impossible. And so, dear friend, yes, have faith and have hope in God, but remember that coupled with your faith and your hope should be love. So as we conclude this week's teaching, I want to share a declaration prayer with you that some nice person wrote. It says, Father, I am victorious. Real failure can never happen because I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I do not lack strength, wisdom, or resources because my God is supplying all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. I refuse to submit to fear because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. I will not assume weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life. Psalms 27, verse 1. I will not be affected by the circumstances today, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. I will never bow in defeat, for God always causes me to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I refuse to worry, for I am casting all my cares upon him, for he cared for me. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. I will not exhibit frustration or apprehension, for I am promised the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9. I will never again agree to bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. I will never express condemnation, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. I will never display discontent, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. Philippians 4:11. I will not have feelings of worthlessness, for I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I will never be intimidated, for if God be for me, who can be against me? Romans 8, 31. I will never feel insecure, because the Lord shall be my countenance and keep my foot from being shaken. Proverbs 3, verse 26. I am victorious in all levels of life, because my Lord has overcome the world. John 16:33. I am a winner. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And the last one, I am an adequate person. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And look at this prayer. Heavenly Father, as I come in your presence, I want to thank you for allowing me to see another day. Lord, I thank you for keeping life, breath, and strength in my body. Lord, I want to thank you for blessing my entire family to also be able to see another day. Lord, I thank you for everything you have done for me, everything you are doing for me now, and everything you will do for me forevermore. And, of course, we can go on and on, but I want to remind you, dear friend, that God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about everything that goes on in your life. And I want to read this to you. It says, family, I ran into a stranger as he passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me too. I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, this stranger and I. We went on our way and we said goodbye. But at home a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked him down. Move out of the way, I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, while dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family you love you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his little eyes. By this time, I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. Wake up, little one, wake up, I said. Are these the flowers you picked for me? He smiled. I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue. I said, son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way. He said, oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway. I said, son, I love you too. I do like the flowers, especially the blue. Family, are you aware that if we died tomorrow, the company that we are working for could easily replace us in a matter of days, but the family we left behind will feel the loss for the rest of their lives? And come to think of it, we pour ourselves more into work than into our own family. An unwise investment indeed, don't you think? So what is behind the story? Do you know what the word family means? Family, F stands for father, A stands for Ann, M stands for mother, I, L stands for love, and Y stands for you. Father and mother, I love you. I want to remind you, dear friend, that family is very important. Remember this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Be kind and loving to those around you, not only to the stranger, but for those in your own household. Be kind and loving to them because your Heavenly Father loves you and He expects you to be kind to strangers, but especially your own family. The scripture says in 1 John 1 verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friend, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ did die on the cross for you. He loved you, cared about you. And if you're already a Christian, then keep it up. Keep up the good work. But dear friend, if you're listening to me and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you today. Don't go to sleep tonight without asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, without asking Jesus to come into your heart, because He does love you. He does care about you, and He does care about everything that is connected with you and your family. So I want to pray with you right now. Pray. I hope that you have enjoyed this time of teaching with me. I hope that you will join me again next week. You have been listening to Vision with Evangelist Faith Reed Liburd. Let me pray with you, and then tune in as we sign off with music from Second Chance Ministries, Brother Uhart and the band out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Let us pray. Father, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I magnify your holy name. I thank you, Lord, because you are truly loving and kind. I thank you, Lord, because you are gracious. I pray, O God, tonight that you would truly remember those who have studied with me. Pray, O God, for those that will listen even as the week goes on. Lord God, you know everything about us. O God, we cannot make it without you, dear God. And I pray right now that you would truly touch. Neshe kitabase. God, touch those who are listening right now. Touch them right now. Open up doors in front of them, O God, and help them to be great men and women of God. And I thank you tonight, Lord, for your love. I thank you, O God, for your kindness. And I pray, dear friend, that the peace of God will be with you both now and forevermore. Amen. And God bless you as we get ready to sign off. Maypen Medley.